And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
One of the poets has given these beautiful words, "Go break to the needy, sweet charity's bread. For giving is living, the angel said. And must I be giving again and again? Oh no," said the angel, "piercing me through. Just give till the Master stops giving to you." I believe those words are appropriate in view of the early announcement this morning. Think of what the Lord has given unto us. He's blessed us so richly, so abundantly. And because of that, in itself is sufficient reason for us to show our concern toward others. I appreciate the concern and the interest of the elders in giving all of us this opportunity on next Sunday to show our concern for others. We have some 150 congregations of our brotherhood in Ethiopia, comprising some 50,000 members. And so members of the church are adversely affected as other people in that country. Congregations, as Brother Clinton has mentioned, there will be dispensing food and supplies for those in need. It will not just be confined to church members. They will be concerned about need among the members as well as otherwise, as they can meet these needs. But those of us who are so blessed need to keep in mind our blessings, and next Sunday, as we give accordingly. I remember on one occasion a couple who had lost a son at a rather early age decided that they would give some great gift, some good gift to the church in memory of their son. No longer with them, of course. And when this was done, an announcement was made, some other family in the church, a wife, a mother, said to her husband, "Why do not we make some gift? We can do so. We're well able to do so in honor of our son." And the father said to his wife, "But our son isn't dead. He's living." She said, "Well, isn't that added reason? If a family gives in memory of a son that they no longer have, and we still have our son and we're able to do so, isn't that added reason for us to give in honor of our son that the Lord still blesses to be with us?" Now, upon that same basis, we haven't experienced poverty and a drought in our country as these people have in Ethiopia. But because the Lord has sent us the sunshine and the rain and has blessed us with an abundance, isn't this in itself adequate reason for us to do as we can do? At last count, I understand that our brethren had reached an amount of $800,000 to be sent to Ethiopia. I'm sure this number will be considerably larger. Several congregations in our county have already given, and some of them rather substantially. This church is known as a caring, sharing church. And we have the resources, we have the ability to do in a very substantial way. And I'm hoping and trusting that out of the love of our heart and out of the blessings that the Lord has given to us, that we'll do so next Sunday. And that amount will be indicative of our spirituality and based upon our resources. And when we do so, I'm sure it will be substantial and it will be good. Pray about the matter, and then let's do all that we possibly can in this regard. I know that many will, no question about that. But I'm just urging each one of us to be sure that we do so. This afternoon, as has been announced, the young people will be in charge of the service of the nursing home. I'm sure it would be an encouragement to them, for some of us who may be a little bit older, to go and lift up their hands and to show them of our interest and our concern in this work and in this service in which they will be conducting this afternoon at the nursing home. Next Sunday, the Medlands invite you to come to our house Sunday afternoon. I hope you've read the invitation in the bulletin. You'll not consider that to be just such an impersonal way or means of doing it, but that you will think of it as your personal invitation to come. Now, we want just you to come and all of your family. Evelyn's been decorating. She's been doing some baking. And next Sunday, you will be able to conclude how well she's done in both directions. But you're lovely, gracious people, and we hope in time to come to be able to be in the homes of each one of you, as well as to have each one of you in our home. But for next Sunday, we hope that on this holiday reception, come and go, that you'll take a few minutes out of your busy activity and you'll come to be a part next Sunday. We want you to. We're grateful for all of those who are here today, as has been mentioned. We have two lovely families who are newcomers to our community, the Billy Taylor family and the Denver Farley families, and delighted to have them and any and all of those who may be visiting with us today. Give us an opportunity to make you feel welcome, and we believe that a lot of the good folks here at Central want to do that if given that opportunity. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That second verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep the goal in mind, in view, as we serve the Lord. I'm fearful that so many times the reason Christians are lost They become inactive. They become unfaithful in the service of the Lord. Is because we do not keep in the forefront the goal toward which we're seeking. What is the end result of all of our efforts, of all of our labors, of all of our exertions here? This was the problem that faced Peter in the long ago. In Matthew 14, verses 28 through 30, after Jesus had appeared to His disciples walking on the water, and they were terrified, they were frightened, they were afraid. They had first thought they were seeing some ghost or an hallucination. And in the 28th verse beginning, and Peter said, "Lord, if it be You, bid me come out to You on the water." And Jesus said unto him, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But seeing the wind boisterous, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, cried, "Lord, save me." Now Peter's problem is the problem of most of us. Peter was able, as long as he kept his eyes upon the Lord, he was able to walk on the water. I don't know how far he walked, whether a few inches, a few feet, or just what the distance may have been. The text says that he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And then that little word, "but," is a word that changes so many things. And the difficulty was, but seeing the boisterous winds. Now, obviously, Matthew isn't meaning that Peter literally saw the wind. He saw the effect of it. Whenever the wind's blowing and we see the branches of the tree moving, we know that the wind's blowing and we know in which direction it's blowing. So seeing the boisterous wind, the turbulent wind, seeing the effect of it and what it was doing to the water and the waves, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, cried, "Lord, save me." Now that which happened to Peter will happen to all of us. None of us are going to be walking literally on the water to go to Jesus. But all of us, as we travel the highway of life, in whatever situations we may come or face, we'll be all right as long as we keep looking to our goal, Jesus. As long as we keep looking to that which is the end result, heaven, we'll be all right. But if we begin to think about how hard the wind's blowing and what troubles we have and how difficult things are and so forth, then we, like Peter, are going to sink. Not literally in the waves, because we may stay all of the time, virtually all of the time on the land. But we're going to sink in all of the problems and difficulties of life. They will close in upon us, and they will ensnare us, and they will destroy us, unless we keep our eyes focused upon the goal, upon Jesus, and upon heaven itself. We want to just open the door today about that goal toward which all of us are seeking, and that's heaven. I like to think about heaven I like to talk about heaven. And I'm sure that you like to hear someone talk about it because that's where you're going. After Andrew Jackson died, someone came to one of his servants and said to that servant, do you believe that Mr. Jackson went to heaven? And the servant said, I don't know whether he did or whether he didn't. He said, I know Mr. Jackson, when he was going on some journey, on some trip, he'd always talk about it days in advance, and he'd begin packing and preparing for it. He was going to New Orleans, he'd talk about the trip, and he'd begin to make preparations for it. And he said, I don't know whether he's gone to heaven or not, because he said, I expect he did if he wanted to. They never really heard him say anything about it, never heard him talk about it. But I expect he did if he wanted to. Well, I don't know about the late, great fellow Tennessean. But the point I want to make is that whenever we're seeking some goal, we like to talk about it and we like to think about it and we like to concentrate upon it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, things which the eye hath not seen and the ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, whatsoever things God has prepared for them that love Him. Now I know that Paul wasn't just talking about heaven. In fact, I know that he wasn't primarily meaning that in that particular context. He was saying to these Christians in Corinth, you living in the Christian age and a part of that blood-bought institution, the church, who have the forgiveness of sins, who have the blessings of all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, he's simply saying that people centuries ago never could even envision the things that you're enjoying. The fact that you're a member of the Lord's family and your sins are forgiven, you're blessed in this life, and you're on your way to heaven. I know Paul was emphasizing that, but I don't believe it does any disharmony, any injustice to Scripture, to think of it in the final sense of what things God has prepared at the end of the road for them that love Him. Oh, I know He blesses us so richly every day of our life. The beautiful sunshine, the seasons as they come and go. Health to be able to walk around and to enjoy so many, many blessings. Some months ago, I was in a store and looking for a publication, a magazine on the news rack, and I just kindly stooped down to get a magazine or to look at it a little bit more closely, and there was a man standing there by me, and he said, I wish I could do that. I think I looked at him with a little blank stare on my face, and didn't know what he meant. And he repeated again. He said, I wish I could do that. And I'm sure when he recognized by my reaction that I still didn't know what he was talking about, and probably he may have thought some of us need to be hit over the head to get a message. He said, I wish I could do that. I wish I could bend my knees I wish I were able to bend my knees like you're able to bend your knees and stoop down and get back up again. But I can't do that. The limbs will not permit me being able to do that. Oh, brethren, beloved, there are hundreds of ways and hundreds of things that we have that sometimes we just take for granted the blessings the Lord gives us. The fact that we're able to put one foot in front of another is a great blessing. And oh, the blessings are so numerous and they're so great that we could not even begin to enumerate them. Great things the Lord has done. As someone said, regardless of our plight, there's always someone in worse shape. And there's always someone that would probably be willing to change places with us that are suffering more than we are, that are facing more hardships than we are. And so, rather than thinking about our lot, what great things the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. He's prepared in the future great things for us, but He's granting unto us many wonderful and great things in the here and the now. We'll only just open our eyes and be receptive and be aware of them. We need to think about the goal toward which we're seeking. Looking unto Jesus. Keeping our eye upon Him. And whenever we do, we can know that no problem's going to be too great, no difficulty too large for us. Because we and God are going to be able to take care of any circumstance, of any situation. Paul expressed it to the Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so in this delightful season of year, not so much because of the emphasis that some people place upon it, but in this time when there is a spirit of goodwill and cheer, and it seems that everybody wants to be helpful and considerate of one another, let's let it not be just relegated or confined to the last month, the last few days in the year, but let it be all of the year that there will be the realization of all that the Lord has done for us and continues to do for us. And let's keep our eyes clearly and confidently focused upon Him. And I know that no storm that ever comes, no wind that ever blows, will be sufficient to destroy us or to sink us whenever we look to that source of strength and that source of power, Jesus. If you haven't been looking to the Lord, if you've been relying and depending upon your own self, your own resources, then you need to realize that Jesus is the answer. He's the source. He's the one that you need to rely upon, to trust in, to depend upon. If you haven't done that in believing in Him, in repenting of your sins, in confessing His name, in being baptized, we would urge you to do so and then look at Him and follow Him all the days of your life.